B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Because we got Jim Salisbury, who does such a great job covering the Phillies and MLB. He's terrific. Jimmy, happy holidays, Jimmy.
Same to you, Anthony. How you doing?
Good, brother. Always so much fun to talk to you. I just got to ask you, this is a general ridiculous question. As someone who once covered a couple of the labor disputes.
Yeah.
They spent almost $2 billion in 3 days, and they can't agree on a CBA?
I agree. It's a bad look, and it's also a bad look when, you know, Scherzer's on that executive committee, and he's sort of the player that's out front doing a lot of the commenting on this bit of labor strife. That said, it's been a long time coming. The Players Association felt like they signed a really poor deal the last time around under Tony Clark. He remains the head of the union, but he went out and hired a kick-ass negotiator, this guy Bruce Meyer. So this has been brewing for a long time. But you make a good point with the billion or so dollars, 1.7, I guess it was, that was out there in this flurry the last few days. I mean, that was going to be out there anyway this winter. It's just condensed, but it just proves the point that there's a ton of money in this game. Full season, their revenues approach $11 million. I don't think either side is dumb enough to kill the golden goose. That's why I think this will pass.
Okay.
But the lockout is a negotiating strategy, expected negotiating strategy by the owners, and it puts pressure and it's used for leverage. So in some ways, I think, or in a lot of ways, in actuality, it'll help force a deal sometime this winter. But I agree, it sucks that the game is shut down. The hot stove is now completely cooled, and it doesn't look good PR-wise, but I am not all that alarmed because there's still 2.5 months to spring training, 4 months to opening day. And like I said, I don't think either side wants to kill the golden goose, is stupid enough to kill the golden goose, but they have some serious issues. The union does, after a contract that they signed the last time that they think tilted too far in favor of the owners. And honestly, there is some evidence that it did tilt too far or has tilted too far that way. The average major league salary has actually come down the last 4 or 5 years while revenues have gone up. So the union is trying to address that and trying to get players paid significant dollars earlier in their careers as ownership or as front offices have valued the young player more. So there's a lot of money at the top of the game, I think, at the top of the, player scale, they're looking kind of fighting this battle. Even a guy like Scherzer making $43 million, he's fighting this battle for younger players that they get paid earlier, a new payroll structure for younger players because of the way the game has changed in terms of valuing those guys.
Yeah. It's funny because, and I think, you're probably right that this is, your belief is right, and this is just a tactic, and it won't delay the season or, creep into spring training. I just always have that pause because I remember being on the bus with the Mets on August 12th, 1994, and it was a party, and everybody's drinking beers on the bus back to Shea Stadium for the players to retrieve their cars from the dad played here. Against the Phillies. I was on the bus with those guys, and it was like, we'll be back on Monday. This was a Thursday. And everything will get straightened out by Monday. And then come to pass, it's 95, there's no World Series. There's scab players, mm-hmm. Including myself.
That's right, I remember that.
and it's like, they canceled the World Series. And every time I hear like, well, this is will go by, I go, I hope, because we saw the unthinkable before.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that I'm positive they're going to come back, but my opinion is
your opinion's right.
My opinion is neither side's stupid enough to kill the Golden Knights,
right.
But I don't know when they'll be back. I don't know if it's going to be 2 days or 2 months.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to pass. But, you know, hey, your point is well taken. They canceled the World Series. I was at that game at the Vet the night the Mets were there. I think, didn't Ricky Jordan hit a game-winning home run or something?
Yes.
I think. And then, you know, the Phillies, actually, I remember sitting up in the press box typing a story, and Phillies players actually pulled their cars and trucks onto the field in front of the dugout and were loading bat bags and equipment bags into their cars because they actually expected it to indeed be lengthy, and they needed equipment to work out. So
wow.
We don't know how it's going to shake up. But honestly, from 1994, I just think everybody, and in 1995, I think everybody learned a lot. And, you know, this stuff happens, and it's a good thing it's happening. It's not a good thing, but the timing of it is certainly better than the alternative, that it's happening in the off season. It might linger a little bit, but I think as the holidays come and the clock is ticking towards spring training, it's going to put a lot of pressure on people to get a deal. And then you're going to have, you know, mama at home is going to be saying, hey, honey, it's time to get to work, you know? And that's all going to, I think lead to a resolution, where it's not going to cut into the season. That's just my opinion. I'm
gotcha.
Not sure of it, but that's the way I feel.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Phils, were you expecting anything? I mean, at least we were hoping that there would be that bat that they get. And,
yeah.
You know, we're hoping maybe you get Chris Bryant before that deadline. Was anything real there?
With Chris Bryant, the vibe I get is that there was nothing close with Chris Bryant. You know, they've obviously checked in with him. I mean, they have a large front office, and they check in constantly and do the due diligence on every available player in a trade, every free agent. So obviously they've had discussions with his side, but I never got the vibe that anything was close with him. Honestly, who doesn't like the player, but I never got the vibe that he was sort of a priority guy. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when things open back up, but the vibe I got is they were pretty serious with Schwarber. He was the guy, sort of their priority guy, and the guy that they were having discussions with. But it, obviously now with the lockout, Schwarber, and he's got multiple suitors. He seems like he's, you know, willing to wait it out and see where it goes. But I think he'd be a good fit in this ballpark, and I think he's the guy that they like. And there's other guys as well. I mean, they need a bopper in left field. I mean, that could be Schwarber. They need a center fielder. They need to flesh out their bullpen. They think they got their closer. You know, we'll see. So they got a lot of work to do once the lockout ends. And is Bryant in play? I mean, obviously he's out there. They have a relationship with his agent, Scott Boras. But I just wonder, you know, if he might just end up being too big of a ticket. And I think they might have people ahead of him like Schwarber. But that said, I mean, if his market shrinks and his price is in a spot that they think it makes sense, I would think that their interest in him, you know, would be more evident. But right now, definite interest, but I never got the sense anything was hot with him.
So am I once out of whack if I said I wanted Schwarber and Bryant? Correa is not going to happen, but, you know.
No, I mean,
I think they need two.
They need two. Well, they literally need two. They do not have a center fielder. They do not have a left fielder. So they literally need two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, their shortage in the outfield is infuriating.
I know, Jimmy. Yes.
It's infuriating, and here is why. In 2015, 2016, and 2017, they spent their first-round pick on outfielders. And these just weren't ordinary first-round picks. They were all, like, top 10 picks. Cornelius Randolph, Mickey Moniak, obviously, at one, and Adam Haseley. And they've gotten nothing out of any one of them. I mean, any one of those guys click, you're not probably, you know, if Cornelius Randolph is the Tony Gwynn that he was, you know, supposed to be on draft day, and that's the phrase that the club used to describe him. I mean, they don't make a $50 million expenditure for Andrew McCutchen.
Right.
If Moniak is what you thought he was going to be when you spent the number one pick in the country on him, you're not out there desperate for a center fielder. Or even Haseley. So it just underscores how poorly that they have drafted and developed really in the last 15 years.
50 years. Look at the outfielders that they've developed. Pat Burrell, who was the third baseman, right? Look at the homegrown outfielders.
Well, I'm more or less talking after the great run. That was largely a homegrown team, and they pretty good job in the draft there. I know, but
look at the outfielders. Like, think about homegrown outfielders.
No, I know, and hey, the owner has said it. 18 months ago, he's the Phillies have been poor at drafting and developing for like 100 years. I think was his comment. So, it's impossible to dispute. But in this off season, with their needs, it feels so much more acute.
Yes. Jimmy, you're the best. You're right on. I love it. I got to be bothering you sometimes because I miss our baseball conversations, man. I always I enjoy them.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to do it. I hope they get back soon. We love the game. We love the off-season excitement. I'm not sure I love the off-season anxiety of chasing this stuff. I'm getting a little bit old here. But
No, you're not. You're in your prime, baby.
I'm in my prime. Prime tomato grower.
Come on, man. You got it in you, baby. You're the man, brother. All right. I love you, man. Best to the family, okay?
All right.
Maybe smell the smell the grass, Jimmy.
Smell the grass. Get in that room. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's it, baby. You're the best. See you, pal. Merry Christmas to you and the family, buddy.
All right.
Here he is, bye-bye. Jim Salisbury.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.